Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And away we go. Welcome, everyone. Glad you are with us. We've just completed 2 hours of Leading Edge Medicine, and you missed out. But that's okay. If you want to find out where we are starting at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning, go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the podcast button at the top of the page, and you'll find out where we are. And even better, you will find out, and you will have access to all of the previous hours of Leading Edge Medicine. They're listed out there, hour by hour, and you can listen to them 24/7. That's good news. We've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with us again. It's Dr. Jerry Mixon and me. And if you've got questions, this is a great time to ask them. I pointed this out an hour or so ago. Last week, Jerry, we broke a record for number of calls. Yeah. And the really good news is that most of them, about 65% of them actually, were not about the virus. Even though we do want more information and questions on the virus, it's just that it feels really good to start getting back to all of the questions. For example, this morning in the first 2 hours, we've had questions about Parkinson's, testosterone, weightlifting, AFib, tremors, benign tumors, when and where to wear masks, a whole variety. It's been really good.
Yeah, and the masks were actually the only even tangential virus.
True. So we had one.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever is bothering you about your health or health in general, let me give out the number, because let's break another record today. We'll try to get as many of you on the air as possible.
Okay.
At 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. As I said, all the lines are open right now. So this is a perfect time for you to call. Get in line. We'll get you on the air. 1-888-312-5757. I am going to ask you to repeat yourself a little bit, though, Jerry, here. We're on a new station, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, even though there are some people followed us, now that we're on 570 KVI, would you do a little refresher course, especially about the fact that each of us right now has 40 trillion bacteria in our bodies?
And 40,
each of us.
And 400 trillion viruses.
That's just crazy. Yeah. Explain that relationship with bacteria, viruses, and human beings. Yeah.
We actually have as many bugs in our system as we have cells in our body. In fact, more. It's kind of amazing. A healthy, typical human being will have about 40 trillion bacteria in our gut at any given time.
That is amazing.
And then another trillion or so on our skin. And in our mouths. Bacteria are very, very common, but we have 10 times as many viruses as bacteria in our system all the time.
400 trillion
viral particles in our body at any given time. And it's a saprophytic arrangement. In other words, we benefit from them and they benefit from us. And there's actually exchange of genetic material between those bugs inside of us and us. And we alter them and they alter us. And each person has a slightly unique, a slightly different microbiome in our gut than any other person has. And it changes depending on your diet, how much or how little exercise you're getting, the weather, your stress levels, all sorts of things alter that microbiome. And so people kind of think of there is us and then there's the viruses out there in that dirty world. Well, no, we are filled with these little critters all the time. So it's a balancing act, and it's a mutually beneficial and occasionally dangerous situation. People don't seem to realize that when we get a new virus that has never been in humans before, or at least not within recorded history, like this coronavirus, it impacts us, and it's dangerous to us initially simply because our immune systems have never handled this particular invader before. Now, it turns out that we have other coronaviruses, though, that we handle all the time. There's a lot of coronaviruses out there, and about one-third of the common colds that we all suffer are caused by a coronavirus of some sort. So our immune systems handle coronaviruses, just this particular one is a little different because it's new to us. But as the virus infects people, our immune system goes to work on the virus. And the virus that we exhale to infect the next person can be slightly modified by its environment, by the immune system that is in us. So it's attacking us, but we're altering it. And as the virus goes through person after person after person after person, it's undergoing mutations triggered by the people. We are altering the virus. And this is a common scenario in viral infections in human beings. They tend to become less and less dangerous over time because they are being filtered through people, and our immune systems are actually altering them. They are responding to their environment, us. And so we have multiple now strains of this virus in existence in this world, and over time, it is becoming less and less dangerous to us. So we are getting better at responding to it, and it is being modified to be less dangerous to us. So there's an interrelationship. The virus, when we first got it, you know, the initial impression was this was not transmittable from human to human. That's what the Chinese told us. Okay.
Even though they knew otherwise,
they're lying through their teeth. But then, you know, they're a government, and governments lie, especially, you know, one-party states, socialist systems. But they told us that this was a virus that was only spread from the wet market in Wuhan. Okay. And that this was a bat virus that had somehow got into the... And so people thought, not a big deal, because the only way you could get the virus is to go to the Wuhan market. And they told us, we only have 45 cases in the country.
Oh.
45! That's it! Okay? Because it's not spread people to people.
They forgot to say 1,000 after
40. That's right. So they were lying to us, and they lied to the WHO, and the WHO lied to the rest of the world. And so our authorities thought this was no big deal. This is something coming out of a wet market. It'll never come to America because we don't have wet markets here. And so what? And so they said, no big deal, not a big thing. Maybe if people from infected will come here and we'll have to treat them, kind of like we did with Ebola. You know, we had 11 cases of Ebola treated in America. 9 of those were aid workers that caught Ebola in Africa and came home to be treated. The other 2 cases, the only 2 cases that were caught in America were the family members of the Ebola members. They lived with someone who had Ebola, and guess what? 2 people caught it. That was the whole epidemic that Mr. Biden is so proud of controlling. 2 cases. But anyway, then we got a different story. We got the story that is sweeping through China, and it's killing thousands upon thousands of people. And the Royal College in London said, It is a pandemic, and it's going to slaughter us. They were projecting 2.2 million deaths in America. Well, all of a sudden, you know, the Mr. Trump and the experts and up there said, my God, we got 2 million people are going to die. Let's shut everything down. And we did. We shut everything down because we were, you know, we thought, well, this is going to go into the schools. It'll kill all our kids. It's going to just like, turns out, of course, they were wrong.
So why did Trump take so much crap, even from other Republicans? Everybody gave him trouble for shutting down travel from China.
Yeah. Well, because they thought it was an overreaction, because the conventional wisdom was this is not a dangerous virus. Even if it goes from person to person, it's not going to cause many problems. Nobody's going to die. It's not a big deal. And at the time he shut things down, no one had died in America.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out why did he do that when even Fauci, supposedly the scientific
because he's being very cautious. He was being extremely cautious, and he said, no, this is a virus that's coming in, and we don't know, and it could be, yeah. And so he shut everything down, and yeah, he took a lot of crap for it, because guess what? The experts were saying, well, it's not that big a deal yet. Well, and it's true. People weren't dying here in America, but it turned out it was a good thing to do. Europe didn't shut down. Europe got pounded.
Yeah.
New York is in the shape it's in because they got a lot of visitors from Europe before we shut down Europe. So the disease started in China. It went to Europe. From Europe, it went to the east coast of the United States. And New York and New Jersey got really hit hard. You know, we should have shut down. If anything, we should have shut Europe down earlier.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So what are you doing with the – I just read or heard a report this morning that the majority of Americans think we should – stay locked
down. Well, that's
down.
Because that's what they're being told. People believe what the authorities tell them. You know, like, let's face it, people like authority figures. That's why they listen to doctors. Doctors are authority figures, so they listen to the doctors and they tell them. And the newspapers, the magazines, the TVs they listen to are telling them, if you don't shut down, you're going to die.
So why is it that mostly Democrats want to keep locked down and Republicans want to open? What logic is there that makes that divide? Just the hatred for Trump?
Well, there is always that factor, of course. But no, I think it's a difference in philosophy, you know. But I'm not sure that I'm a medical doctor, not a political doctor.
Yeah, good point. Just is mystifying to me.
From a medical standpoint, we now know that things are not what we thought they were. I mean, originally we thought it was not going to get humans. Then we thought, okay, it can get humans, but it's not dangerous. Then we thought, oh my God, it's going to kill everybody. And now we've learned from experience that no, it kills the old and the fat and the diabetic and the people with heart failure and the people that have immune suppression drugs on board. Everybody else is pretty well safe. If you're under 60, your chances of dying are tiny. Unlike the flu, which damages and kills kids, this one doesn't bother kids. This one only gets old folks.
Old, fat, diabetic folks.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're old and lean and you know and exercise regularly, you're very low risk of dying. It's if you're old, you're fat, you're diabetic, you have heart disease, you're at risk.
Okay.
Okay. Most people are not.
So those people need to stay indoors.
They need to be sequestered. Sure. And so what we need to do now is let's look at the real science. Let's not look at the fears. We've now got, you know, several months of experience. We have nearly 100,000. We've got 100,000 people have been infected that we know about, and probably five times that.
Yeah, probably.
You know, that have no symptoms. We now know that the vast majority of people who get infected with this virus won't even get sick. Their immune system will suppress it quickly. They'll make antibody, and they never get clinically ill. Middle-aged people will frequently get clinically ill. They'll cough. They'll run a fever. They'll be miserable for 3 or 4 days, and then they'll start improving. And the cough may hang on 2 or 3 weeks, but that's about it. You know, people over 60 are at higher risk, and the older you get, the lower your immune response is. And so you're less and less capable of fighting the virus. And obviously, if you're overweight, your immune system is seriously compromised. If you're a smoker, it's compromised. If you're an alcoholic, it's compromised. If you're a diabetic, it's compromised. So anything that compromises your immune system puts you at higher risk. So if you're an obese diabetic in your 40s, yeah, you're at risk. But, you know, you and I are in our 70s. We are at risk just based on the fact that being in our 70s, our immune system is down somewhat. But we shouldn't be shutting the schools. Kids almost never are seriously injured by this virus. Yeah, it can rarely happen. But kids are far more at risk from the flu than they are from this virus. And if they go to school and they pick up the virus, 99.99% of those kids are not even going to know they were sick. They might
and
run
their parents who are in their 20s or 30s.
And the parents of those kids are in their 20s to 30s. They're at no risk. So the kid gets a virus, he brings it home. Guess what? Now the kid is immune and the parents get immune. And they never got really sick. Okay. So, but yes, don't go visit grandma and grandpa till this is over. You know, you Skype them. My daughter spends an hour a day at least chatting with her grandparents in China. So they talk all the time.
And I have to say, one of the most painful pieces of this puzzle for Vicky and me.
Staying away from your grandkids.
Staying away from our grandkids. It's in the painful, emotionally painful category.
Sure.
We can't hug those little guys.
But the point is, people can go to work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they're old. If the boss man is old, the boss man shouldn't go to work. Okay. He needs a young manager to be there, and he talks to his manager by Skype. So the old folks, yeah, shut them down. Don't go to work. Young folks, get the heck out of the house. Go to work. Do your job.
Sounds good
to me. Feed your family.
Sounds good to me. Hopefully we can learn and that our state will start opening up a little sooner than what they are telling us now.
Our state is opening up. Go out on the highway. You'll see. There's 20 times more cars now than there were 3 weeks ago.
That's right.
The governor's behind the curve.
All right. If you've got a question, well, actually, we got all the lines full. That the line is when our next person on the air goes off, you can call 1-888-312-5757. In the meantime, we're going to start taking questions when we come back.
They called you about the health analysis that I took a year ago. I went to the Linwood office, and I must tell you, your staff is so amazing. At Longevity, they talk to you. They make you understand what's going on, and they give you the numbers so you have a starting point. And that's what I love about coming to you guys.
Ooh, sugar pie, honey bun. You know that I love you. I can't help myself.
23 minutes past the hour, Pete Talbot here. And you're listening, in case you're just driving down the road, turned on the radio, and want to know what the heck is going on here. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We've been on 570 KVI now since 1999. Started off with 1 hour, and 2 hours now.
You think they'd give us stock in the company by now?
Well, they sold. That's now owned by Sinclair. So
I see.
It was Fisher way back. Fisher
yeah,
that's
way
right.
back when.
But anyway, Sinclair is huge and a really quality broadcasting company, sort of almost an 800-pound gorilla within the industry. But anyway, we're happy to be here. But this is, again, Leading Edge Medicine. And just real quickly, we called the show Leading Edge Medicine.
Yep.
I want your definition and your explanation. Why is leading edge medicine important?
Medicine is an extremely highly regulated, hence extremely conservative enterprise. discoveries, research, is often 15 years or more between when we make the initial research discoveries and it finally gets translated into medicine.
In other words, before insurance companies accept them as acceptable protocols.
Yeah, pretty much. Because most people won't do it if they have to pay for it. Doesn't matter how good it is for them.
That's true. You know? I have a knucklehead friend who so badly needs us, but insurance won't pay for it.
That's right, yeah. We have been acculturated to the fact that, you know, we are responsible for our house, our car, our boat, everything in life except our bodies.
That's right.
Someone else has to maintain my body, or I'm just willing to go downhill, get sick, crippled, and die if I have to pay for it to maintain it myself, which is just crazy. You know, you'll maintain your house, you'll maintain your car, you'll maintain everything in your life, but only your body, the single most important thing you've got, you will only maintain if somebody else cares about you enough to pay for it.
And
this makes no sense at all to me.
With medical protocols that are 15 years behind the science.
Sure. But again, you have to realize that the insurance company, including Medicare and Medicaid, they don't make a profit by treating you. They make a profit by collecting premiums. The goal is how much money can we collect and how little can we spend and still stay out of court? I mean, it's kind of bizarre. But that's the rules. So, you know, I didn't make the rules. I don't like them. And so I just said, I won't play the game. I want to do the things that I believe to be the best, newest, most effective therapies for my patients. And I'm not going to worry about it. The consequence is I only treat people who care enough about themselves to pay their own bill. Yeah. And, you know, if you don't give a damn about yourself, then, you know, okay, it's your choice. You know, you're a grown up. I'm not your daddy. I'm not your boss. I offer you my guidance. I offer you my help and you accept it or you don't. It's, you know, it's free human beings making decisions. So,
well, this is what Longevity Medical Clinic is all about. We call it leading edge medicine at Longevity Medical Clinics because we, thanks to you, Jerry,
we are often offering therapies that will not be in the mainstream for another 15 or 20 years. I started this clinic 22 years ago. Many of the things I started doing 22 years ago that everybody thought was really strange are now well moving into the mainstream. And so I'm moving far ahead. And, you know, we'll be talking about things that we can do that other clinics won't be doing for another 15 or 20 years.
That's right. For example, senescent cell therapy. We're getting very close, by the way, to having the webinar ready to go.
I'm just waiting for the designers
to come
up with the graphics and stuff.
That's all happening as we speak, practically even as we speak. I would imagine no more than 2 weeks, but... So that's just, however, the senescent cell therapy and the exosomes and all of that is coming, and it'll be light years ahead of what will be available.
Yeah, it's a big, big jump from what we have been able to do.
Right. So the long and the short of it is I need to also make a little announcement because the nice lady coming back from the break talked about the health analysis appointment and how glad she was that she took that free appointment, and she's now been a patient for a year. There's no pressure put on you to become a patient, but the free health analysis appointment, we do sort of have a sweet and sour situation. They have become very, very popular. That's an understatement. And two or three days ago, I was under the impression that we still had quite a few of them left. Well, we have none of them left in May. I don't think even one, unless there's maybe been an unusual cancellation or something. And even worse, into June, we only have 28 appointments available in the first 2 weeks of June. Now, if the pattern holds, those will all be gone by the end of the day today. And so what we do want to encourage you to do, when we started our show this morning at 8 o'clock, so 2.5 hours ago, we had 28 appointments available, the free health analysis appointments available in the first 2 weeks of June. Virtually none, probably none in May. But the first 2 weeks of June, 28. That's between three clinics, unfortunately. So about 9 or 10-ish in Tacoma, the same in Linwood, and the same in Kirkland. So what you need to do is understand you will get the two free tests. That one is a blood test, the other we call the in-body testing, to help you determine what some of your basic health risks are. That's the first step. If you don't measure, you don't know, we will do the measuring for you, at least some of it, with those two free tests. Then we're also offering two free masks, the N95 masks. And we're offering, we started this in May, and I guess we're continuing it for a while, the $100 of free longevity supplements. So lots of reasons, but you need to make one of those health analysis appointments online probably today. You really need to do it today by going to our website, lmclinic.com. As I said, there's less than 10 in each of our three clinics, 28 total. So just go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and schedule one. It's very easy to do. Just click on the main button there on our homepage, and you can schedule it. I bet you it'll take you less than 3 minutes to do, and it'll be done. So, again, go to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com, and you can make your own appointment. So do that. Now, unfortunately, with all the teaching you just did, we need to go to another quick break, and then bing, bang, bong, we're going to take calls.
Take calls? Okay.
Take calls. Let's take do it. Calls. Dave, Betty, Glenn, and we'll be back to you. Don't go far. We'll be right back.
I'm in the longevity program in Lynnwood with Dr. Armstrong, and I'm very happy. And one of the things I realized why it's being very successful for me is that I feel like I have a personal coach.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark. It was Stagger Lee.
All right, Pat Boone, 35 minutes past the hour, and let us start taking those calls I told you about. And by the way, in case there are some of the free health analysis appointments available in the first 2 weeks of June on Monday, probably not, but maybe. And if you don't have a computer to make your own free health analysis appointment, go ahead and call. We'll put you on a waiting list, 866-86-YOUNG, if you want to talk to somebody. I know that's a little frustrating if you don't have a computer. If you do, go to lmclinic.com and make your free health analysis appointment. Otherwise, you can call us Monday morning, 866-86-YOUNG. Maybe there'll be one available. If so, you can get it. If not, we promise to put you on a waiting list. How about that? 866-86-YOUNG. Okay, let's go to Woodinville and talk with Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hi. Hello, can you hear me okay?
We do indeed. How can we help?
Yes, Dr. Jerry, hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I was wanting to ask you today about my brother's situation with Parkinson's disease. I get so frustrated here locally with the doctors and other places that it wants you on the food pyramid from 30 years ago to cardiologists that when you want to talk to them about the negative things of statins, that they say, oh, that's settled science. We don't want to, we know that you're supposed to be taking statins and so I'm frustrated with that, but I'm trying to help my brother who lives in Colorado who has Parkinson's. And, I was trying to get him to take some ACL carnitine with CoQ10, try to get into his system. And also I was talking to him about trying to take some D-ribose to get some energy into his body. And now I'm doing a little reading on creatine. But what would you, from a distance, think – you know, I should be pushing with him to try to get some help into his body, you know, with the Parkinson's.
What is he taking now?
Well, he's really not taking anything in particular now. As far as I know, they don't have him on anything. He just told me that, well, in his latest blood test, his readings were all in the medium range, but that didn't tell me anything either.
It doesn't tell me much either.
No, I'm sorry on that, doctor.
Okay. Now, listen, is he on a prescription drug? Is he on something like Senamet?
Boy, I should call him before I have you get into that. But I can write that down to see if he's on that.
Well, that's kind of been the standard therapy for Parkinson's for, oh, I don't know, 50 years, is basically a drug. The prescription name is Senamet. But, you know, one of the newer drugs, actually it's an old drug, but a newer application that has been written up several times over the last couple of years is the hydroxychloroquine. And, and there are several good papers showing that the hydroxychloroquine is quite useful for Parkinson's disease.
So okay, that's one that they're talking about for malaria and stuff.
Yeah, that's the old malaria drug, been around since 1945 or thereabouts, but it is now got several papers showing that it's actually a real benefit in Parkinson's, and it's being looked at in several other neurodegenerative diseases. So that's one place to have him talk to his doctor and ask his doctor to pull some papers on it.
Okay.
Now, this is clearly not an over-the-counter thing. It's something he will need a physician to do, and that means the physician will need to, you know, instead of looking at the standard therapy, go in and do a research, you know, pull papers in the National Institute of Health database. But there are several good papers there for that particular use for that drug.
Okay. I will definitely do that, Dr. Jerry. I appreciate that information.
All right.
And okay. Well, and thank you. I'm going to probably call your clinic and see if you have any cardiologists that you recommend, because I think they're like,
I can tell you my favorite cardiologist right now.
Hands down.
Yeah, his name is Ruben Maiden.
M-A-I-D-A-N.
Yes.
Dr. Ruben Maiden, Evergreen Cardiology.
Yeah. He's a very, very bright guy, very warm, empathetic. I don't know anybody that doesn't fall in love with Ruben when they see him, but he does really great work.
All right. That's right. I appreciate that.
And he just got married in his backyard yesterday morning.
Oh, yeah?
How about that?
So she finally made an honest man of him,
that's
huh?
Right.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, Dr. Ruben Maiden, he's my cardiologist. Literally, we won't go there. Saved my life
on
the table. Wound up putting in 7 stents, which I'm happy to say holds a record.
He kept you alive.
And kept me alive.
Yeah. He is a procedural cardiologist. He, you know, anything that needs to be done, sort of open heart surgery, he does.
That's right. He doesn't do that.
He's not a cardiothoracic surgeon, but he's a great cardiologist. So give him a call.
Excellent. So there you go. Let me think. Yes, we can take another one. Let's go to Everett and talk to Betty. Hello, Betty.
Hello, Betty.
Oh, Betty, you're listening to the radio. We tell you not to do that.
Oh, I'm
Betty.
Sorry. So
hello.
I had a question about fasting. A friend of mine told me that fasting can shrink and maybe eliminate a tumor, especially if it's benign.
Depends on the tumor. Intermittent fasting has a great many health benefits, and it is one of the more effective ways of weight loss. And the reason that is important is because abdominal fat is a very active gland. It produces more than 80 pro-inflammatory, anti-growth factor, pro-plaque-forming enzymes, peptides, and hormones. So that visceral fat accelerates heart disease, cancer, dementia, osteoarthritis, and diabetes. Okay. So fasting in and of itself is beneficial for a lot of things. I can't tell you for sure it's going to shrink any particular tumor. It decreases the inflammation that often promotes tumor growth, but that's a different issue.
Okay. I'm the one that called on the other program about my pneumocytoma. Yeah, and so my friend told me to try fasting because she says it shrinks it, and then eventually it gets so small the body absorbs it.
I'm not at all sure that's true with this tumor. But one again, as I've pointed out, I have never treated this tumor, and I have only heard of three cases in my 45 years in medicine. You know, one when I was a resident, it was presented by a pulmonologist at Grand Rounds. Once about 20-some years into practice, when one was discovered on a CT scan in a patient, a woman who'd been in an auto accident, and in the process of working her up for her trauma, they discovered one. And now you. So in, you know, 45 years of medicine, you're only the third one I've ever really known of. So it's not a field in which I am expert. All right.
Oh, do you think it's worth a try for me to try the fasting?
You know, fasting is generally good for people anyway.
Yeah.
I do daily fasting. You know, I get up in the morning about 6 a.m. I have my breakfast right away. By the time I shave, my wife has my breakfast ready. I eat a breakfast. I go out. I run 3 or 4 miles to burn off my breakfast and get some exercise. I have a robust but usually a little bit late lunch, you know, noon to 1 o'clock or so. And then I don't eat again until the following morning. So I usually fast from 1 or 2 in the afternoon until 6:30 the next morning.
Which I cannot do. So don't feel bad, Betty, if that scares you. Not many people, wouldn't you agree, not many people can do that?
You know, I think it takes getting used to. I started out saying, okay, I will not eat after dinner. And so after 6 o'clock at night, I didn't eat. And that gave me basically 12 hours till the next morning.
Right.
So no snacks in the evening. And then I moved it down to 5 o'clock. And then after a while, I went to 4 o'clock. And then we moved our lunch up to like 3 o'clock. You know, and over the years, we've kind of gradually gone to the point that, you know, we do a pretty extensive fast on a daily basis, letting our bodies, you know, get empty and burn fat instead of glucose. And so, yeah, I wouldn't say only eat breakfast and lunch to start with. Start the easy way. You know, eat nothing after dinner and eat dinner fairly early and then start moving your dinner earlier and don't snack in the evenings. And you'll find over time you can do that easier and easier and easier.
Well, for this tumor, because I don't want that radical surgery, I have now just finished fasting for 2 days straight.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that takes willpower. I would have trouble with 2 days fasting.
Well, that I didn't enjoy it, but that's how much I don't want the surgery.
Okay. All right. Well, and you know, there are a lot of fasting regimens. There are people who fast 1 or 2 days every week who eat nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, 24 to 36 hours every week. And, you know, and that's a perfectly acceptable pattern if that fits into your lifestyle. Since I like to be physically active, if I don't eat for 24 hours, there's no way I could run or lift weights.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I haven't told this story in probably 10 years on the radio, but about 20 years ago, I became addicted to a nasal spray.
Uh-huh.
I was using it. I used it for 3-4 years.
Something like Afrin or
it was Surafedra? Four-way nasal spray.
Four-way, okay.
I probably bought 500 bottles of this stuff over a 4 or 5 year period of time. I had to use it. I get clogged up, mm-hmm. and I'd use it. Boom. Well, I couldn't get off it. I literally was addicted.
It is addictive.
And I went to a friend of mine, a nutritionist. And he said the only way he knew how to get off it was a fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so he suggested that I drink, it was like a gallon or two of water every day. Plus I took almost like a half a gallon of water, a little bit of orange juice, and a little bit of vinegar. And it wasn't real pleasant. It wasn't terribly gagging. And 13 days of that.
Wow.
And during that 13 days, I generated so much energy. I was playing tennis 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Okay.
I was un-freaking believable, but I was still clogged. On the 13th day,
your nose opened.
It went. And it was so wonderful to make it through that. But it was the only thing that I could think of, or my doctor friend could think of,
okay.
And that worked. So yeah. I know the long-term fasting doesn't kill you.
No, no.
Apparently, it was the orange juice. Oh, yeah, I lost like 20 pounds. It was great. But the blood sugar was kept a little bit level with that nasty drink.
Sure.
It won't kill you. Fasting kill you.
It doesn't. And, you know, it's got a lot of health benefits, so... Yeah, I'm in favor of fasting. 2 days strikes me as a little tough, but, you know, if you can do it, great. I do know people that fast 1 day every week. They just, they pick 1 day a week and they eat nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And all they drink is water and tea. So,
yeah, that's what I've been doing since November, but my friend told me to increase it, after a month, then do 3 days and then repeat it. Every quarter for a year, and she said that would take care of it.
I've never seen a paper. I know nothing.
I don't know that it'll kill you.
No.
Who knows? Hey, thanks, okay. Betty.
Thanks.
Appreciate
for
the call. We are very late for the break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Glenn about a cancer question, and then with Sue, who says she's 60 and wants to know if she should wear a mask. Another mask question. Where, when, how, and why? We'll be right back.
I think it's a wonderful thing. It teaches at the seminar and not reacting after the problem. It's trying to prevent the problems from happening in the first place. And the thing I like the most about everything that I've learned is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense.
All right, 52 minutes.
You remember
past
sock
the
hops when we were kids?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
oh,
you weren't allowed to wear your shoes in the gym, which is always where the dance was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why they were sock hops.
I never went to a school dance. Because I
That's
went
right.
To
they kept throwing you out of school.
We don't talk about that, Jerry. At least it's been a long
you
time.
You reprobate you. Your reputation has been enhanced through the years. You're no longer that juvenile delinquent that the schools kept kicking out.
Yes. I went to Bellevue Christian School. They kicked me out. Bellevue Junior High. When they kicked me out of Bellevue Christian, I went to Bellevue Junior High. They kicked me out, actually out of the whole district, but that's another story. But I had I repented. I saw the light. I had an epiphany.
I see.
It really was a spiritual thing that happened for me.
Yeah. His spiritual thing was named Vicky.
He
did one quarter of college in which he met this woman.
No, no.
And they got married, and she has run his life ever since.
No. Well, there's some truth to that. Anyway, I'm a happy camper.
Yes, and I'm Vicky. I'm glad that Vicky keeps you on the straight and narrow.
Oh, the sock hop. No, Bellevue Christian did not have sock hops.
Oh, that's
They didn't believe in dancing. I think it's okay there now, but...
Shorts then, and dancing.
We had a 6-inch rule at Bellevue Christian, like in chapel. When we were all together during chapel.
6 inches apart?
6 inches from any female. It was painful.
I could not have survived that.
No, I don't think they kicked me out. What am I going to say?
<All right.
laughs> Anyway, enough said. How did we get on? Oh, you made the comment about sock hops. Anyway.
Yeah, I said just remember sock hops because you know, right. That's where we used to go.
Okay, let us go to Shoreline and talk with Glenn. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hello, Glenn.
Hi. Well, good morning, guys. I'm in the high-risk group for age, and I check most of the boxes on the medical forms. Uh-huh. And I'm also a fair-skinned Nordic. And I went into the dermatologist and to just have my bald head treated with some Effudex, Fluoracil or something. That's a chemo that you put on.
Yeah, 5-fluorouracil. Yes, 5-fluorouracil is what that is. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So towards the end of the treatment, everything looked fine. It was doing great. And then up, it looked like I was growing a horn on the right side of my head above the ear. And it turned out to be a squamous cell carcinoma. I wonder if you've had any experience treating any of those and if I might have a problem with it. They said I probably should get some radiation treatment for it, too.
Okay. Well, you know, it depends on how big and how deep it is. There is something that I have often, well, not often, occasionally had people use with squamous cell and basal cell carcinomas. It's actually the approval from the FDA was on actinic keratoses. But there are papers showing that it also seems to work pretty darn well with the dermal cancers. It hasn't been tried with melanoma, but with the other ones, it seems to work pretty well. And hang on one second. Here it is. Inguinal meputate. You got a pen? Write this down.
Yes. Okay.
Inguinol. Second word, meputate. Okay, it's a topical gel. You apply it once, sometimes 2 days in a row, depends on the tumor and how big it is. And within a day or two, it'll turn red, and then it will get really inflamed, and then the whole abnormal set of tissues in there will just die and slough off, and you end up with a hole where the tumor was within about 4 or 5, 6 days. And then over the next 2 weeks, that will heal in, and it'll be gone.
Okay,
now, it doesn't treat metastatic disease. If you've got a squamous cell tumor that has already spread remotely, this isn't going to fix it. It only works on the primary. But it's pretty effective. I had one on my forehead, maybe the left side of my forehead. Oh, golly gee, it's probably been 7 or 8 years ago. And so I went out and bought that. Now, if you pay the rack rate, it's over $1,000 for two applications.
No kidding.
Pricey. But it was covered by the insurance. And so my copay was $40. So $40 to get over $1,000 worth of medicine. I was happy with that.
Yeah, of course.
You just have to only put it where you want it. Don't contaminate it. For God's sake, don't get it in your eyes. Abnormal tissues, it causes this incredible inflammatory reaction, and they just slough off and die. So it's an off-label use. And like I said, it only gets that primary where it is. It does not get anything that is spread elsewhere. So.
Okay. Yeah, this had gone down to the skull, scalp, or down to the bone.
Okay. So yeah. Well, that's going to take something more aggressive then.
Okay.
So.
All right, Dave or Glenn.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye bye.
Boy, do I have time to take another call. I don't. No, I don't. I don't. Sue, you hang on. We've got another hour to go. So don't go far.
We do have a couple of minute break.
We do have a couple of minute break. So Sue will be next when we come back. Don't forget, if you want one of the free health analysis appointments, there's probably still a few left for the first 2 weeks of June. All right? First 2 weeks of June, a free health analysis appointment. You get the two free tests. You get the free $100 worth of longevity supplements and the masks, a couple of masks, N95 masks. So make your free health analysis appointment by going to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. And we'll be back after the top of the hour break and some news.